Welcome to My Religious View. It's nice that you could join us today. I probably have been a little busy with things. Usually I'm trying to update my show every week, and you know, things happen. I got a lot of things to deal with all the time, and I'm always there trying to do what I can, but you know, it's just hard to get it out there, and I'm glad that I'm able to, you know, catch up a little bit here. This show is based on the things that I hear from other practitioners, pastors, priests. I sometimes can be negative. I try to be positive. I just want to have try to be as unbiased as I can, so that people that are listening to the professionals, we'll call them, don't always have to take them seriously. You try to absorb what you can and get out of it what you can, and use it in the best way you can. And sometimes I think it's good to hear a view from somebody on the outside who's hearing things that need to be corrected. Because sometimes, you know, in our own minds, the way we hear things, we always can't correct them ourselves. And it's just nice to have somebody like myself come along and be a critic of sorts, and try to steer you in the direction that you need to go in. One of the gentlemen that I like to listen to is the Jesus Christ Show. I don't know, he thinks he's Jesus Christ. I don't know, I get a little confused with it. But I think overall, he's really an amazing guy. He gives a lot of great advice, and I like to pat him on the back when I can. But when I hear things that bother me, I don't hold back. So, let's listen to some of the words he's talking about grieving.
If you don't appreciate her life, not her death, but appreciate her life and move on with that. And I know it's only been 4 months and no one should rush you. I understand that your husband loves you very much, and he wants you to be happy, and he misses you, quite frankly. And when you're in this state, it probably, in addition to frustrates him, which is what you end up seeing, it probably hurts him very deeply as well. And he doesn't know how to react except what boys do, and that is, walk it off.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to be coming from that same place. The place that I want to come to for you is to explain that life is precious, and your sister's life, when Winnie lived and experienced life, that is what you're to celebrate. To focus on her death is to minimalize her, is to reduce her to her illness and her death. And she was more than her illness, and she was certainly more than her death, correct?
Yes, yes.
So I want you to be able to celebrate in the experiences you had. The loss stinks. I get that. And that's going to take a little while for you to understand and have kind of a shelf in your heart to place that. And that's going to take some time. But to... you have children?
Yes.
Okay, to stop being their mother and stop being a wife to your husband is to throw the entire balance off. You're essentially taking you out of the equation of life right now to mourn. And that's not fair to your commitments, to yourself, and to your family. There has to be balance in that.
But what about my faith? I thought my faith was so much better than I realized it is.
It's all tied together. It's all tied together, Judy, because as you get frustrated with the loss and the sadness in your heart, you're going to look towards God and you're going to shake your fist. But your faith is not shattered, Judy. You wouldn't. A faithless person doesn't pick up the phone and call this program. You're definitely a person of faith. You're just going, you know what? I want some comfort because this is affecting me, and it's affecting my outlook, and it scares me and frustrates me and makes me angry towards God. But ultimately, you know that your sister had her faith and that she's taken care of. You know, if anyone should be crying, it's probably your sister for you, because you still have to stay here. But you've got much to do. Your life is separate from your sister's, and there are specific purposes that are attached to your life. And if you cease doing them, including being a person of faith, then you miss the entire point of life to begin with. And then it's not about missing your sister. It's about being selfish.
You know, I think in most of that, those words of wisdom, I think they were powerful. I think that they allowed people to hear how they can grieve and how they can feel. You know, I mean, you give advice to people and they're thinking, does this affect me? Is this something that I can adhere to? You know, I don't know. I think all situations are different. And, you know, you don't leave off on a situation where you're telling somebody that they're being selfish. I mean, people have to grieve in their own way. A loss of a loved one, a family member, a friend, anything like that cuts deep, so deep. And it just takes time. Time is what heals. That's what you have to tell people. It takes time. Take as much time as you need. Now, if it's going to affect your work and your personal life and your business life or whatever life you're living, then, you know, there's ways to deal with that. You know, there may be, you might need medication. It depends on how serious the wound is. But everybody heals at different paces. And it's up to ourselves to understand what we need to get out of this world of loss, because everything's going to affect you differently. I mean, people in your lives, they affect you in ways that you don't even expect. So, you know, I think it's hard for anybody to generalize and give advice on the loss of a loved one, and we just have to really understand that you really need to know that it's okay to grieve in the way you need to.
There is no human being ever in the history of humanity that is by nature right in the eyes of a holy God. Not even Adam, not even Eve, perfect creatures in a perfect environment. Adam was not righteous. He was innocent because he knew no evil. But his unrighteousness was demonstrated by his behavior, as well as was Eve, that precious, precious little baby, that new grandchild you've got. Oh, my. Is that a little righteous baby? No, friends, that's a little innocent, sweet little innocent baby. But you just give him a couple of years, and he'll demonstrate his unrighteousness to you. Give him time. Innocent, but there is none righteous, not even one. Indictment number 2 in verse 11. There is none who understands. Who understands what? Who understands the ways of God? Who understands the things of God? God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that spiritual things, the things of God, are spiritually discerned, and the natural man cannot understand them. It takes the Spirit of God to understand the things of God, and the natural man and woman does not have the Spirit of God, and therefore the things of God are foolishness to the human being without God's Spirit. None who understand. There is none who seeks for God. That's the third indictment in verse 11. Wait a minute. Nobody seeks after God. This country, this world, is full of churches and it's full of temples, and people are flocking in there. Are you saying that they're not there? What are they there for? Why do they go if they're not seeking God?
There's many reasons why people go to churches and temples and mosques. I'm sure most of it's probably about religion, but they want to be part of something. They want to feel their brethren next to them, feel what they're feeling. It may just be a spiritual thing. They may not even believe in God, but they just want to be there because Maybe they think there's just something out there that they have to believe in. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing when people can get together and pray together and believe in the things that they want to believe in and have a place to go and do that. You know, when you say, man, God can't speak for himself, you know, I think that's what we're here for. Man speaks for God. I mean, we're the relayers of information. We're constantly improving ourselves to make a better world, and that's what he's given us. He's given us this, you know, what we call free will. Free will doesn't always have to be looking in a negative way or negative light, saying, "Oh, well, they got free will, so that's why they're doing these horrible things, horrendous things." No, we have free will, so we can be doing good things, and we are doing good things. And we need more people to go, be out there saying, look how great things are. We need to be more positive people. You need to believe in yourselves and in others and in the future. Because if you don't, you might as well go back to wherever you came from. I don't know where that is. I mean, does anybody know where they came from? Really? I mean, it came from the man and the woman and they're having the sex and they're doing this and then all of a sudden the baby comes out. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, do you know where you really came from, where you were? I mean, it could have been some kind of past life thing. Could have been your soul has been now living alive in this particular body. I mean, we're just vehicles carrying our souls. That's what we are. That's who we are, is our souls. And we, you know, that's what we have to believe. We have to believe that we can do better every day. And that's why we go to churches, temples, and mosques, so we can get together and exchange ideas. And that's why we're here, to make it better.